How about you guys fill in the blank here? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Almost. Just going to before your will be done. No, that's fine. That's really good. What about before your will be done?
Your kingdom
come. Your will be done. How much?
On earth as it is in heaven.
How well do they do God's will in heaven? Pretty well. That's how well we need to pray for it. Today we're going to talk about praying God's will. You guys hear that, right? Like, Lord, we pray your will be done, that kind of thing. Does that ever kind of stress you out to think about praying God's will? Like, let me ask you, what do you think is tough about that? Praying for God's will to be done, why is that a challenging thing to pray?
I mean, what if you don't want to do it? What you're praying for is the exact opposite of what you want, simply because he thinks that he knows about that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the hard part about it. So actually, you laid out two things. One is, what if like his will is not something that I'll enjoy very much? What if his will is that there's a pandemic and social unrest and we're only halfway through the year? What if that's God's will? Yikes. Okay, but then the other thing he says, what if I'm praying something that's actually opposite of God's will? I'm praying, God, please, blah, 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 whatever the thing is you're praying, and God's will is like, no way, man, what are you doing? Well, that kind of feels bad. Sorry, Father, I just asked for something that you exactly didn't want. Now I'm feeling weird about ever praying for anything. What if I pray for the wrong thing? Because God doesn't want that thing, and then God would be mad at me because I'm a bad kid because I didn't know what he wanted. It's just a hard thing. But
I would say one thing that is kind of hard is praying that God will be done is a big part of that is submitting your own will.
Sure.
That's definitely hard.
That goes back to the first piece. Absolutely. Yeah, that's super hard. Is really praying your will be done. Okay, if you just think of somebody praying, Father, your will be done, who do you think about praying that? Do you think anybody can pray that kind of thing?
Jesus.
Yeah, when?
He was about to be on the cross.
Yeah. And by the way, how hard was that for Jesus to submit his will? A lot of times you think about Jesus like, yeah, I want to die on the cross and do the things, say whatever. Yeah. Was Jesus that way about the cross? How bad was it in the garden when he was praying that very prayer? Sweating, and it was coming out like blood. And he's begging the Father three times. And that's why he came. He knew that was why he came. That was the whole deal. And that night, even he gets his guys. Hey, guys, I want you to watch him pray. And that was really for the disciples, maybe, to be able to overcome temptation. But also, Jesus picked out his three guys, not all 12 guys. I think there's this insinuation there that Jesus wanted these guys with him for his strength, right? So submitting yourself to God's will in prayer is a really, really challenging on a heart level. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like on a really basic level, just the fact that we don't know what God's will is, like I generally want to feel like I need to be in control of what I'm praying for. Like, don't pray for anything too crazy or big or whatever. Just
sure.
Like, okay, I want this person to stop feeling sick, so I'm going to pray for that. Like,
yeah.
Or I want this thing to happen. Like, I almost like I have control of it already, and I'm asking God to take care of what I don't have control of.
Except I'm only going to ask for this much because I don't need that again. Maybe you don't want to pray for it. Yeah, great. That's right. Let me ask you this. Can you know the will of God and can you pray for things that you know are the will of God? Is that possible? Is it possible to know the will of God and to know things that you import into your spirit? Sorry, what? I think that's right. What do you mean? Why do you say obviously? How do you know that? So you know the will of God. You know some things in the will of God that you can incorporate in your prayers because God's told you a lot of things about his will. Actually, a ton of things about his will, right? That's one. What's the, you said depends, some things, maybe not, go ahead. Sure. Good. So there's some things we don't know. For instance, does God have a will about who will be the president of the United States come November of 2020? Does God have a will about that?
I don't know. Maybe he might.
I'm going to say definitely yes. And here's why I say definitely yes. Romans 13 says that every governing authority is appointed by God. And actually, there's a lot of Old Testament references. But like some people would say that's more in democracies, that's more of a passive thing that God set up, so I'm not going to debate that. But I'm going to say yes, in some way, shape, or form, God has a will about that. Do you know who God wills to be the president of the United States? I don't either. Okay. So I guess if you really like one or the other and you want to pray for that, I guess that's fine. But I don't know that you should spend too much time in your prayers on that because God's will be done on that. You know what I'm saying? Unless you really, really love one of those, then I guess you pray. But at the end of the day, we're going to see a passage in just a minute where you might need to cool out on exactly what you're praying about political things. I don't know if you guys pray political prayers. Probably not. When you get old and dorky and you pray that way, just remember. Anyways, my point is exactly what was said. There are some things we do know actually are God's will. And I'm going to show you in just a second. Some of those are things we can incorporate and should incorporate into our prayers. There are some things we don't know. And so on those things, we pray, God, this is what I want, but your will be done. By the way, sometimes, and I'm just going to say, I think Jesus gives us the authorization to, even if we know it's something, I'm not saying something wicked, but something we're pretty sure is God's will, like for us to suffer, and it seems like we're going through suffering. Jesus was praying, Father, let this cup pass from me, but your will be done. In other words, Jesus knew the cup wasn't going to pass, but he still, because God is his Father, he went to him with that intimate reverence. Intimate reverence. And he said, please let this pass from me, but your will be done. He did ask for what he wanted. But at the end of the day, whether it's something he knew or didn't know, whether it's something we know or don't know, we say at the end of the day, God, your will be done. Totally.
I think we can kind of see some examples of Jesus praying for things that he already knows are God's will. And I'm sure other people see, like, your kingdom come, and also, like, give us this day our daily bread. Because God has promised that, like, we're going to have to live our basic necessities. So if he already knows that that's God's will, he's still praying for it.
Fantastic. That's a great point. That's a really great point. Yeah. And what I want to, really, here's what this is, what we're going to do today, is look at a couple scriptures as a group together. I'm going to break you guys into groups. And I'm going to give you some flexibility, how much time you want to spend looking at some scriptures. I've got some listed in your handout that you can reference, or you guys may just want to talk about them generally. That'd be great. But I'm just going to encourage you to think about that your prayers will become better, richer, more meaningful, more godly, more effective, the more you know the Word of God. The stuff that we don't know, okay, let's just kind of leave that to the side. The vague things, I don't know what God's will is about how long this pandemic's going to go on. I don't know what his will is about who's going to win the election in 2020. I don't know what his will is about that girl that you hope will actually talk to you one day. I don't know what his will is about where you're going to call it, all that stuff. I don't know. And you don't either. And you can pray, God, I really hope she'll say yes when I ask her out. Or I really hope I can go to XYZ college. Or God, I really like the pandemic to stop. I really like it. You can pray for it, but at the end of the day, you don't know what his will is. And so you just pray whatever you pray as a child coming to his father and say, your will be done. But there are some things that we pray with a greater degree of confidence because we know it's God's will. And so it's not like, oh, God, if you would please, your will be done. It's like, God, this is your will. This is your kingdom will. And I want this to happen on earth as it is in heaven. Stephen was sharing something yesterday. I'm just going to, if you think it's a fitting place for you to kind of share that, even about some of the verbiage, some of the stuff we were talking yesterday, how it actually fits in with some of this. So, Stephen, if you want to take it away for a second.
Yeah. Just point out to me that in the Lord's Prayer, that our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come, and your will be done. Are all the words there are like, let this thing happen. Because usually we think of like hallowed be your name, it's like, oh God, your name is holy, or we're praising God, and that's part of it. But it's like it's also one of these three phrases that's like, hey, this needs to happen. Like, your kingdom come, let it happen. Your will be done, let it happen. Let your name be sanctified. And that concept is like, we want other people to sanctify God's name. When they submit to his kingdom, when they submit to his will, they are praising God, they are sanctifying his name, regarding him as holy. And so like those three things like all go together. And so I think that's kind of cool how that happens. It's not just that like God's passively, well, he's not holy up there. No, like we want his name to be sanctified here, as in heaven, also on earth.
So in other words, hallowed be your name is kind of, it's a parallel to praying, God, we want your we want you to rule things on the world. We want your will to be done in my life and the lives of others. We want your name honored in my life and in the lives of others. Is that God's will? Duh. Yeah, it is. And that was really helpful for me. And so hopefully that's a little something there. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to do this exercise in like two passages, and then I'm going to break you guys into groups. I'm going to encourage you, if you want to pick one or two more, and or maybe you're just good to go and start praying. But what I want us to do is look at a scripture briefly. I'm going to read it, and then I want you guys to tell me, what is God's will? It, particularly as it relates to prayer. All of it, and this is on page 2 of your outline here. There's a lot of reference to the Old Testament, and including Jesus, of things that we should pray for that are God's will. Yeah, we'll do the exercise. I'm asking one question, and then we're going to go for it. Everybody turn to Romans 15. Romans 15. I'm going to read this. This is near the end of the book of Romans. Paul is talking to the brethren there about how what he was doing at this point in his ministry was going from church to church through the Greco-Roman world, gathering funds to take to poor saints in Jerusalem. All right. And I want you to listen to what he wants them to pray for
related to that. Romans 15, beginning in, we're going to start in verse 25, kind of in the middle of the discussion. Romans 15, 25. Listen for the prayer. Listen for what is the will of God that Paul is praying for. And by the way, some of these have multiple right answers, so don't feel constrained on one magical answer here. But just what's God's will that Paul is praying for, asking them to pray for. Romans 15, 25. But now I'm going to Jerusalem, serving the saints. From Macedonia and Achaia, those were regions where there were churches, like for instance, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, etc., have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, that is, the Jews had sent out preachers and stuff, so these Gentile churches, they became Christians because of what the Jews had given them, Jewish Christians had given them. Now these Gentiles are indebted to minister to the Jews in giving material things. Therefore, when I finish this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I'll go on by way of you to Spain. Paul wanted to circle back to Rome before he went on to Spain to preach. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. All right, you kind of hear verses 30 through 33 is the actual prayer. There's several cool things here. What do you guys see? What are the things on Paul's mind? What does he want the brethren to be praying for? Some of these are here for you, directly wants them to pray for. Some of them are more like the results of the prayer. What do you see in this text that is are things that are part of the will of God that Paul says, here's what I want you guys praying for? Hit me.
Strive together.
All right, so there's cooperation among God's people. Is that God's will? Absolutely, we should pray for that. Go.
Safe passage.
Safe passage. Now, that's an interesting one. Safe passage for what purpose?
So that you might be delivered from Judea.
Yeah, he wants to be delivered from the enemies, really, in Judea, right? Okay, good. Go. Yes, because there was a risk that they would show up in Jerusalem with a bunch of dirty Gentile money, and the Jewish Christians were a little int on Gentiles sometimes, and they would be like, we don't want that dirty money, we don't need help from them. He's praying, in other words, that there would be a continued cooperation among the brothers. Keep on going. What else is he praying for here?
Help you be refreshed.
That he'd be refreshed. Really good. Is that the will of God, that we'd be refreshed in our spirit, that we'd be more energized for service? Absolutely. Keep going. Other things that Paul's praying for, or results that is part of this conversation that they should be praying for.
He goes with joy.
Say again.
He goes with joy.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, this is the part, you guys know, in the book of Acts, from chapter 21 to 28, Paul's arrested, Paul's getting like almost beat up, he gets shipwrecked, all this kind of stuff. He's saying, pray for me that I'll have joy. I don't think he knew all that stuff had happened yet, although that did get prophesied to him at different points. But he's saying, I want to have joy through this. Does God want us to have joy? Yeah, that's a part of the will of God. That's a big part of it. So much so that it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit of God, is that we would have joy. That's something we'd be praying for. What else do you see in this text that was Paul was saying? This is the will of God. Let's pray for these things.
He's also saying that to pray for him that he just gets there so that he can come to them.
Yeah, so this is cool thing. He's praying for safe travel. Do you guys ever feel like that's kind of a, I don't know, almost like a non-important prayer? Like before you go on a trip, maybe that happened for you guys here. So you prayed, or somebody in your car prayed, God give us safe travel. It's like, I don't know. Is that just like a Christian formality before we go on a trip? Like, God, please give us safe travel. How about Paul literally prayed for safe travel? Now, it wasn't just because he didn't want to get in a car accident or a chariot accident or whatever. He wanted safe travel so that he could accomplish something for God. So here he prays for something that doesn't seem spiritual. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But it was part of God's will because he was trying to do something for God. That makes sense. By the way, what's Paul's ultimate goal? What's he trying to do this whole thing? Is he just like, hey, let's help each other out because we're nice people and stuff? Where does he really want to go? After he circles back to Rome, where does he want to go? Spain to do what?
To preach.
He wanted the gospel to be proclaimed first. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you guys just list like 10 things that are part of the will of God in this prayer. Anybody want anything else? Let me show you another one. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm just picking out a couple of randos here just for us to do this as a group as an exercise. There's others, and I would encourage you guys to pick out no more than two, maybe, if you want to, in your groups to talk about some of these other scriptures. 1 Timothy 2. I want you to listen. What's the will of God that we should pray for? 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Because after Paul's introduction, it's kind of awkward for him to say, first of all, but that's because chapter 1 is kind of an introduction of the situation with Paul and Timothy and Ephesus. And so he says, first of all, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father. Translation, this is God's kingdom will. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. If I just said Father, sorry, I answered that. God our Savior. Who desires all men, who has the will, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles or of the nations in faith and truth. All right, what does this text teach us about the will of God? What is the will of God? What is Paul praying for regarding the will of God in this text?
That those in authority provide a peaceful life for people who are serving God.
Okay, so there's two things there. We're praying for the authorities, and we're praying that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. And there seems to be a connection between the authorities facilitating a quiet and tranquil life. Good. Keep going.
He's praying for the gospel to be shared to everyone so everyone can be saved.
Okay, good. Really what this prayer ultimately about is the gospel prayer. Now, the beginning of it is pray for the authorities that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. So we want the gospel to be preached. Really good. Other things you notice about the will of God in this text that we need to pray in. I mean, that's a pretty good summation, but there may be a couple other details to bring out. Can I just talk something about the authorities thing? So I just think a lot of Christians are kind of bozos about political stuff because we think like Americans and not like disciples of Christ. What are you supposed to do when it comes to the authorities? Look again. What are your prayers supposed to be when it comes to the authorities? Does it say they make decisions? It doesn't actually say that. Which is weird. That's, by the way, I think it's okay to pray for the decision. Okay, that's wrong. But it is interesting.
Yeah. That's what he's saying. Give thanks.
Okay, that's really good. Thank you for pointing that out. That's actually what I want to say. A lot of times, have you ever heard that happen? And by the way, some people are way too overt about this because it just so happens they're Republican or they're Democrat and their guy wins. And they'll get up, and it may happen, and shame on them if they do this, maybe. But the Sunday after, because they happen to be a Republican or a Democrat, they'll get up there and say, God, thank you so, so, so much for doing the right thing and putting in so-and-so as president. That's not what this text is saying. Who are the leaders that they were talking about in this cultural context? Who's the big dog leader that everybody was under authority?
Caesar.
And what was Caesar like? Like, super bad. And what were they supposed to do when they came to Caesar?
Thank God
for Caesar. I may be misreading this, but I think that's what it's saying. You pray for them and give thanks, right? That's God's will. And I don't know why that is, guys. I have no idea why we should give thanks for some of our leaders and leaders that we'll have in the future. And no doubt in our lives we'll have many leaders that will say, I can't be thankful for this man. I think this text is saying you're supposed to be thankful for them. Even if you don't feel it in your heart, put it in your prayers. And what that, that's the whole set of that. So you get the point, right? We need to look at Scripture and calibrate the way that we pray, including about authorities. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard prayers for the authorities, and usually the prayer goes something like this. Father, we pray that our authorities would make godly decisions. Well, yeah, that's fine to pray, but I'm not really holding my breath on the president making godly decisions. I'm just not. You know, any president, I'm not singling out the one we have right now. I'm saying, in general, I don't think they ever hold my breath on Caesar making godly decisions. Certainly, you'd love that, but really what they're praying for is what we like is a quiet and tranquil life that we can go about doing our thing, preaching the gospel. That's really all we're praying for. And if the rest of society kind of ignores us and just doesn't mess with us, which is, by the way, what happened in the city of Ephesus, Acts 19, check it out. The authorities said, leave these people alone. He wasn't pro-Christian. He was just not anti them, and he allowed them to go about their business preaching the gospel. You know what I'm saying? So we need to learn to pray the will of God. I took way too long. I'm sorry about that. Any other comments or thoughts on how we can read Scripture and learn the will of God and then incorporate those things into our prayers? Do you guys have anything you want to say about any of the texts we've looked at or just the concept in general? Okay. Let me ask this before we move into Jerusalem. How do you guys think this would help you in your devotion to the Lord? If you would learn to pray the will of God as revealed in Scripture,
And not just pray things that you think would be cool, but actually pray things that you know are God's will, that He wants to be done on earth even as in heaven. That you know by His kingdom rule and authority, this is what He expects, that this is how He makes His name honored. If you would pray these things, how would it change your life, do you think, if you incorporate that more in your prayers?
By acknowledging that God is in control of the security of what it is, you give yourself a greater sense of peace that there's nothing you can do. Everything that happens is going to be up to God. And since He knows what's just for right now, we can be at peace because we know that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's right. Praying God's will. Praying things that we know are God's will. Besides just saying, your will be done and stuff, we're not sure God, we should do that too. Praying things that we know are God's will is an act of submission and trust and saying, God, I know you're smarter than me, and I really want this thing to happen. I'm in agreement with you. You know, I'm in harmony with you. And there's a great peace that comes between us and God, and therefore internally in the way we live our lives. Go.
I guess it also kind of helps us for His will to become our will.
There it is.
To do what He wants us to do and what to do. Not, even if we might disagree with it, that we still... Or we may not disagree, but we not feel comfortable with some of the stuff or whatever, that we get over that, and just because it's God's will that we do it. Anyway.
Really good. I think that's right. The more you pray these things, the more they're going to become your will too. And maybe an example is in Matthew 9. Jesus encouraged His disciples, commanded His disciples, to pray that the Lord of harvest would send out laborers. Well, if you're always praying that God would send out laborers, eventually you'd be like, I probably should preach the gospel tonight. Whatever, you know, because I'm praying it, it becomes my will too. And somehow I'm aligning my will with God. Let's see if these two members are ready to pray. So I'm heard for you. All three of you guys with us. Yeah, and then you, and I said, go.
So, kind of building off of what you said, if you start praying with what God wants, then you're not going to, your mindset isn't going to be on yourself as much.
Great.
And you're not going to be praying.
Absolutely. And even things you ask for that are yours. It's because God, you're my Father, and you're what, it's your interest, and you, it's just changing the other
way. I was going to say the same thing with them. Like, our opinions and feelings aren't focused anymore.
Absolutely. Just push the margins. Go ahead.
I thought they also kind of teach patience, because sometimes we really want something, and God doesn't give it to us right away. So I feel like that if we keep on praying for that, and we ask that His will be done, and we... His will might mean that we don't get it for a while. Now I feel like that'll teach us patience in our lives and in our spiritual lives.
Amen. Absolutely. Love that. You guys get it. This is really important. It's really helpful. It enriches your prayer so much. We got about 20 minutes, so I'm going to try to move quickly here. I'm going to call out names. You guys listen closely, and I'm going to try to say where each group should go. I got you guys divided into six groups, four groups of five and two groups of four, just to divide everything out equitably. And maybe some of the people on this list ended up canceling out or took a role because whatever. But if it is that one of the groups is short, that's fine. We'll figure it out tomorrow. We'll just go with this. If there's people missing your group, don't worry about it. I'm going to call it out and send you to a corner of the room. I think we'll get maybe one group up here on the stage area and then just try to spread out. What I'd like you to do is, I'm just going to suggest a prayer to you, actually. Either do Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, or Philippians 1, 9 through 11, or Colossians 1, 9 through 14. So that's numbers 4, 5, or 6. Those are relatively short, maybe ones you're already familiar with. Whenever you sit down, just somebody read that. Do a quick thing like we just did. What's the stuff? And if you guys want to, I'm just going to trust you guys in your groups to pick out one or two people to lead a prayer. I'm going to give you a 10-minute warning. At the 10-minute warning, you need not be discussing the text anymore and actually praying. And I apologize. This is way too short of the time for prayer. We're going to try to do better in the next few days. It's been a good discussion. My bad on that, though. Okay, here we go. Andrew B., Andrew M., Berkeley, Caleb E., and Christopher B. Why don't you guys go in that corner over there? Andrew B., Andrew M., Berkeley, Caleb E., Christopher B., that corner. Like I said, pick out one of those three passages, read it quickly, talk about it, and spend the rest of the time in prayer on God's will. Next group, Daniel C., David U., Deacon W., Evan P., Gabrielle R., go to this corner over here. That's Daniel C., David U., Deacon W., Evan P., and Gabrielle R. Next group, Ian L., Jacob T., Joel H., Joey R., John C. Why don't you go like this wall over here, kind of, you know, far enough away from that group where you're not disturbing. Just take a couple of minutes, just turn around a little circle. That's Ian L., Jacob T., Joel H., Joey R., and John C.
us. Middle of this wall over here, this next group, Logan H, Luke E, Lucas S, Malik L, and Matthias M. Right over here, this wall kind of middle. Again, same thing with the benches. Logan H, Luke E, Lucas S, Malik L, Matthias M. We'll get one group kind of, the next group will kind of be in the middle right here, and the next group go on the stage. Nick S, Noah K, Noah W, Samuel A. Right here in the middle, we'll just grab a couple. Counselor Jones first, or so kind of one, or whatever you want to do. And then everybody else on the stage, and kind of.